Today on Real Life Radio.
God says, listen, because I've been merciful to you, okay? And now because of who you are, you hear that? Because of who you are, go out there now and be merciful. Go be merciful because I'm merciful.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Our New Way of Life. You know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, the physician, could do. Now here as we continue in chapter 6, Luke tells us that Jesus came to earth offering what no one ever has and what no one ever could, a new life. You see, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that we're a new creation. All the old things that held us down, they've passed away, and all things have become new. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our new way of life is about giving others the grace that Jesus has given us. The world will never know about God's grace unless they see it on display. A generous Christian will give to those who ask and expect nothing in return. Now in his message called Our New Way of Life, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I heard a horrible thing, and I'm sure you did too. It was all on national news. It's very, very insulting, in my opinion, that Nicholas Berg, who was beheaded by Al Zarqawi, cut the head off of Nick Berg. His father was on the news this last week, 2 weeks ago, asking, what do you think about the death of the man that killed your son on international television, slicing his throat? And one reporter asked him, would you, as a parent, I can't imagine how you would have stopped it. If you could have been there, how you would have stopped this man from killing your son? And he said, I don't think I would have stopped him. I can't get involved in things like that. That would make me as bad as the man that's hurting my son. You understand that that's sick, and yet it's being heralded in the world by some people as a character quality. That's wrong. That is calling good evil and evil good. That's not what Jesus means here. Oh, golly, I wish you wouldn't kill my son, but oh, there you go. Oh, well. That is wrong. And thankfully, his son never heard such a response from his own father. Jesus is not saying to be a pacifist in this verse. Jesus is saying, if you're being attacked for association with me, if you're being persecuted for me, I don't want you to retaliate. Even if it goes to the point of being a martyr. Jesus says, don't do that. It's powerful. It's impossible, isn't it? Unless God's in control of our lives. It's just impossible. It's a grace that transcends this world. It's also a grace that is lavished upon others. Look at verse 30. It's a grace, the grace of God, it's lavished upon others this way. Jesus said, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. What is he saying here to this? If somebody is stealing from you, that's one thing. You don't ask for it back. But listen to what he says. He goes outside of the logic of the world. Give to everyone who asks. Now, here's us. And I understand this. When somebody says, hey, you know, can I have a dollar, man? And you can smell the alcohol coming from his breath. We've all seen that happen. Hey, man, you know, I'm really hungry. Can I have a buck? Are you hungry? Oh, I'm starving. I tell you what. So wait right here in the street corner. I'll be right back with some food. What do you want? You want a hot dog, a hamburger? What do you want? Have you done this before? I've done this before. I'm not going to give you any money because I'm not sure what you're going to do with it. But you said you were hungry. I'm going to go get you some food. Stay right here. Are they there when you get back? They don't even care about the food. They wanted the money to go do something else with it. When someone asks, bless them but with wisdom. Be wise about it, but bless them. Jesus says, go ahead and do that. And we'll never be able to discern who's worthy and who's not about this. Should I give to him about that or the other? Give them something, Jesus is saying. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. This is the law of the heart where Jesus is saying, if somebody has stolen from you, God will deal with them in the end. You don't need to go run after them. I'll take care of you, Jack. This is Christianity. And we can read about it. We can carve this out and put it on nice Hallmark plaques, but it's one thing different to live it, isn't it? Give to everyone who asks you. Why is this important? As I thought about this, this is exactly what God's done to me in my life. See, what do you mean, Jack? You know what? I didn't deserve heaven. I asked God for it, and he gave it to me. I didn't deserve to be saved from my sins. I asked him to forgive me, and he forgave me. I asked the Lord to make something of my life because I had not been able to make anything with it at all. And the Lord says, I'll take it from here. He's been so good to me. He's been so kind and so gracious and so loving. Always his grace is so abundant. Verse 31 teaches us that his grace that expects nothing in return. That's God's grace. When we grace people, church, listen, when you give to somebody, when you grace and bless someone, don't have strings attached. The world does that. I'll give you this. What do I get back for it? You know how the world is. Hey, I'll give you 50% off. I don't like the way that sounds. Because that 50% off might be too expensive. What are you not telling me about this deal? You know what I'm saying? This is important. Grace that expects nothing in return. Listen, verse 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. This is amazing. You want to know why? Church, during the time of Jesus, this saying was popular, or I should say a saying like this was popular. And there were others who had said sayings much like it, but never in the positive. It was like this. Whatever you don't want done to you, don't do it to other people. Do you hear that? That's the negative. If you don't want people to be mean to you, don't be mean to them. That's in the negative. Jesus turns it around and he caught the attention of the world. He's the only one in the world that has ever said it in the positive. Jesus said, just as you want men to do to you, you also do that to them. Is this karma? No. Jesus is taking the positive. See, the Christian comes out of the positive position. And it fits perfectly into what he's teaching. Someone who is without, someone who's in need, someone who's angry or hates us or is cursing us, Jesus says, go over there and love on them. And don't be surprised if they wind up getting changed and wind up loving on you. But that's not the motive to do it. Just do it because that's what I do. Church, are you ready to receive this? Jot this down if you would. Jesus did it. That's the model. We are to do it as Christians. If we're not striving for this, we have no right to call ourselves Christians. The truth of the matter, my friend, is you're going to say to me after service, well, that's not fair. There's nothing fair about it. Christianity is not fair. The innocent dies for the guilty. That's not fair. The one who pays the price feels the pain. The one who did all the sin goes away scot-free. That's not fair. God's not fair. He's gracious. If God were fair, we'd all be in trouble. Think about it. I thank God he's not fair. He's gracious. He's kind. He's loving. He's gentle. Fair? I don't want fairness. In my life, I want mercy, grace. I want God's gentleness, God's goodness. And so when someone sins against you, Christian, against me, Christian, I'm the one that pays the price. You'll pay the price. Well, he hurt my feelings. Forgive him. What? Do you understand, church, that Jesus told us to forgive one another, not for the other guy, but for us? That guy wronged me. He sinned against me. He said all kinds of evil against me. He really ripped me off. And God tells me to forgive him? Yep. Why? Because it's for you, my friends, for you. When God tells me to forgive the person next to me, it's for me, not for them. Do you understand that? Have we looked at that wrong? Watch this. I am not going to forgive them. What are you, crazy? Did we miss this? Forgive who? Them? No way! You don't even know what the gospel means. That's why Jesus said, if you don't forgive those that are around you, those that you know, how can God in heaven forgive you? You've missed it. I am not, you know what? No. In fact, some of you already just tuned me out. I can feel it from here. Jesus says, forgive them. You think that you're doing it for them? You've missed it. When you forgive that person who sinned against you, who's upset you, you're doing it for you. Your relationship is reestablished with God and you can move on. Look, I love each and every one of you, and I don't mean to offend anybody. But if I hear that you're all upset or you hate me or whatever or you've hurt my feelings, listen, I'm going to break my neck to get to you if I have to fall over this stage because, listen, it's not because I like you so much. It's because I have to love you. God says so. But the main underlying motive is I am not going to have my walk hindered between me and God because there's something between you and I. That's how valuable my walk with Him is. Now watch this. Try this in your life. Well, I'll never forgive my sister. Hey, forgive your sister. Ask God, Lord, help me to forgive my sister. And then watch what happens with your Christianity. You'll soar, my friend. Some of you have been living in a Christian coma for so many years because you won't forgive that person. And you think that you're winning. You're dying. Oh, yes, you're going to heaven, but you're stunted. You won't develop. You'll have a strange, abnormal development as a Christian when God says, listen, forgive them. He's telling us to do that for our own good. If you don't, you'll become bitter, angry. It'll begin to form on your face. People will see it. That person's not a very happy person. Think about it. Forgiveness is for you. When you issue it toward another, it's for you to be set free. You say, what if the guy doesn't forgive me? That's his problem. I asked her to forgive me. She wouldn't forgive me. That's her problem. Now you're free, though, to go on your way. It's very important. Expecting nothing in return. Third point this morning, verses 32 to 34, our new way of life. It's motivated by divine reason. Divine reason, yes, this way. God shows love toward all. That's the way God thinks. Look at verse 32. And by the way, you and I have enjoyed His love even when we were non-believers in Him. He was good to us. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. He's saying those of the world, those who don't believe in God, aren't they chummy with each other? Hey, buddy, how are you? Love you, man. All right. Come on, let's go. Are you going to drive? Yeah, I'll drive. Oh, I love you, man. What's the truth? I need a ride. I don't want to spend any money. Let's use you. Let's use this guy. You want to drive? The world's always got a hook. See, not my friends, man. I mean, Pastor Jack, no way. I'm a non-believer. I got a bunch of cool non-believing friends. We're just a bunch of loving non-believers all over each other. It's just great. You know what? Just wait. Just wait till things get rough. The world doesn't know how to love. The Christian must express love because we've been loved by God. The wonderful thing is God shows His love toward all. You know, you think about, to me, the greatest display, it's just amazing to me. Jesus was on the cross, and He didn't even mention the word love. He just lived it out in front of them. When He was about ready to die, there were those all around Him, and Jesus shouted out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I can't look at that without seeing the word love. It's amazing to me. But God shows love toward all, and He is loving. There's no doubt about it. He will forever be loving. But just know this, my friend. There'll come a day, though, even though God is loving, He will not condone or turn away sin. It cost Him the life of His Son. And so, motivated by divine reason, look at this. Verse 33, reason, God gives good things. God gives good things. And if you do good, see, God does good, so He wants the believer to do good to those who do good to you. What credit is that? I mean, that's normal. Everybody does that. That doesn't take a divine intervention. But He's saying, believer, you need to live it outside of your life. Doing good to those who do good to you, big deal. That's easy. It's doing good to those who do you bad. That's a God thing. And He says, sinners do that. They're good to those who are good to them. They're upset with those who are upset with them. That's not the way we're to be. And then look at verse 34. Reasons, God owns everything, everything that there is, my friends. And by the way, we've borrowed it all from Him anyway. Did you know that? A friend of mine did some work in a house, It's a 17,000 square foot house. Okay, how many square feet do you need? But it's a 17,000 square foot house. And that's amazing. And, you know, this guy has made hundreds of millions of dollars and blah, blah, blah. And who really owns it? God does. It's God's. It's all his. Jesus says, verse 34, and if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Meaning, you know what? They think they own everything. Watch. They think they own it. And even when they give it over to somebody to use, they charge interest when they do it. And it's not even theirs. And what's implied is that they're friends. Hey, buddy, tell you what I'm going to do. Oh, I don't like the way that sounds already. I remember the Lord speaking this verse clearly to my heart. Some years ago, about 3 years ago, there was a church in the Pacific Northwest. They had borrowed money from the bank. They had started building their church, and they couldn't complete the task. They were short. Bank wouldn't give them any more money because the church was too small. They couldn't make it. They called around. They couldn't afford the rates that the other churches were going to be charging them for the loan. I didn't know that at the time. They called us. Already defeated on the other end of the phone, you could hear them. Hi, remember us? Yeah, I remember you guys. Well, anyway, we're looking for, this is what happened. And so how much do you guys need? Oh, we need this much. And well, we'll pray about it. Talked about it with the board, prayed about it. We loaned them the money. They finished the project. They got in. And they said, okay, you know, we want to know the terms. What will be the terms? The terms of what? The terms of this loan. Well, that you don't give us a penny back in interest. Don't get us in trouble with God. If you're going to pay us back, then just pay us back to the penny what we've given you. But don't give us one penny interest, because we don't want to lose our blessing before the Lord. And that church completed its task that it needed. And now, by the way, that's a big, beautiful church in Seattle. And it's on its way. But you know what? God blessed us because we obeyed the scripture and didn't have a percentage number attached to that. It's a dangerous thing to mess like that. Well, you know, that's business. Watch out. It's the family of God. Verses 35 to 36, our new way of life, it's satisfied by divine mercy. This is like a grand crescendo that Jesus announces what the Christian's new way of life should really look like. To love them, to do good to them, to give them. Listen, he says there in verse 35 that God's mercy produces love. He says, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. He's recapping, but listen to this. Love them because God loves you. Do good to them. Why? Because God's good to you. Loan to them. Why? Because God loans to us the very air we breathe. That's why we should give to them. Let God settle it in the end. It's very important. We can't possess these things. We can only manage them. Very important. The Bible warns us and tells us clearly that we need to be about our Father's business, Jesus said. And by the way, I want you to think about this for a moment. I wrote this down in my notes because God convicted me and I wasn't about to keep all that conviction to myself. I wanted to share that with you. God asked me, Jack, would you accept this assignment if I were to give this to you? Little did I know he had already given it to me and to all of us who are Christians. Now, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. You're a Christian. Raise your hand. Okay, you just got in big trouble. Big trouble. Because here it is. The Lord began to speak to my heart in preparing for this message. Jack, I want you to target your enemy. Listen to this. I wrote it down. Jack, I want you to target your enemy, and I want you to set your sights on him, and I want you to attack him with my love, with my forgiveness, with my grace, with my mercy, and my goodness. See, on the one side, I turn to my enemy, and those words apply. Attack. Sights. Go after. Lay hands on them in the Lord. Deal with them. No. God says, nope, nope, nope. I want you to take all that, and I want you to do this thing. I want you to administer to them my love and my forgiveness, my grace and my mercy. I said, God, I can't do that. That's why I'm asking you to do it, Jack. because I'll do it through you if you just ask me. And so you see, he set me up. Jack, do you love me? Yes. Do you want to obey me? Yes. This is what I'm calling you to do then. So I thought about that. Lord, this is true for all of us. It's true for this church. It's true for me too. Can I raise my hand? You raised your hand. God saw your hand up. He saw you raise your hand. Guess what? You, according to these verses and myself, we are now accountable. We must love our enemies. Do you see any option in here? Does he say, if you can, love your enemies? A moment ago, we raised our hands. We are indicted. If I am a Christian, I must, without debate, love my enemy. You see? No option. God's mercy creates hope in our lives because of this. He says, your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. He says in verse 36, God's mercy nurtures faith. Verse 36, therefore, I love that. We got to circle that word, therefore. It means because of what you have heard, and implies, by the way, because of what you are now. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. You hear that? Okay, how many of us are Christians again? You're going to think twice about raising your hand now? Okay, not so many hands this time. At least that's honest. That's honest. God says, listen, because I've been merciful to you, okay, and now because of who you are, you hear that? Because of who you are? Go out there now and be merciful. Go be merciful because I'm merciful. Notice how he says, you'll be sons of the Most High. You'll be my kids. Why? How's that? Because I'm merciful. So Jack, go out there and be merciful. Go do it. But can I do it? I just told you to do it. You can do it. Go do it. But what if I fail you? No, I'm going to do it through you. You just go do it. Go do it. I'll take care of all the results. You go do it. That's Christianity. Look, you can go to discipleship classes all your life. If you're not willing to do this, just stay home. Think about it. If I'm a Christian, I must forgive those who have sinned against me. If I'm a Christian, I need to be merciful. Father, we thank you for your truth and for your word. It convicts us to the core. And Lord, I know that in our lives, we today, this Sunday, this day, we need to obey you now. We need to go home. We need to make phone calls, or we need to go visit people. No matter what their response might be, we need to say, Jesus has forgiven me of so much, and it would be wrong for me not to forgive you. I want you to know, I forgive you in Jesus' name. And if they slap us and persecute us for being like Jesus, then Lord, bring it on. We would gladly, happy be to have that title, to be associated with Jesus to the point of pain, than to hide in the shadows, being robbed by unforgiveness and an unmerciful heart. We ask you, Father, that you'd live your life through us, Lord, in a never-increasing way. And I pray, Lord God, starting in my life and in the lives of all of us here, that you'd make us dynamic, biblical Christians to this world, starting right now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Our New Way of Life. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, have you had a chance to pick up your copy of the One-Year Bible yet? It's a Bible that's divided into daily readings that we'll be reading together as a church family in 2023. Why don't you join us as we go through the One-Year Bible from cover to cover, and together we'll see how God's Word comes alive through the pages of Scripture. It's an unforgettable devotional experience, and once you see how much God loves you, you will never be the same. The One-Year Bible. It's available for purchase at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.